good to be here, and glad to see you. And I guess you're stuck with me this morning. Pastor asked me a while back to be praying about a Thanksgiving message, and I thought, well, I guess he's getting out early, so that way all the food, you know, it's never good to preach right before you got to eat. So I guess that's me. You know, as I was studying this and studying what God would have me to bring, I guess it's the time of Thanksgiving, so you start thinking about what you're thankful for. And if you're like me, you start measuring things, at least this is what I do. I start measuring things in the age of my kids. I think, well, so many years ago I did this, and so many years ago I did this. And before I realized it was 13 years ago today on, I guess, this type of service, the service right before a Thanksgiving dinner, when I preached my first message here at this church. And I thought, wow, that's kind of weird. 13 years ago, I was here by myself, and then 7 months later, me and Angie came down, and then a few short months later, God moved us here to Central Baptist, and I thought, wow, time goes by really, 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 really fast. I looked a lot different. I did a lot of different things. We've added 2 kids to our family, and I began to think about all the things that I'm thankful for. This time of year where we do that. We thank God for what He's done. We thank God for what He's given to us. And if we're all honest with ourselves, we start to think about the things that God's blessed us with, and most of the stuff, if not, I'll put it this way, if not all the stuff, we don't deserve. I mean, you just start at the top of the list. We think, well, we're thankful for our health, what health we do have, and we think, well, I don't deserve that. Thankful for the job or the jobs or the way that God blesses us to supply or to meet our needs, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful for a place to sleep at night. We're thankful for a car. We're thankful for a country we live in. And as we go down the list, or as I went down the list, I started thinking, all these things I'm thankful for, I don't deserve a single one. And if we're honest, we know that. We don't deserve any of this stuff. But then the way my mind works, I start thinking, well, what about the stuff I do deserve? And I thought, well, what is there? As I begin to think about that, I begin to think there are things that we really do deserve that we don't get. And I thought, well, should we be upset about that? No. I had grew up as the youngest of 3 brothers. And as the youngest of 3 brothers, one thing that I looked for a lot was mercy. I didn't find a whole lot of mercy from my brothers. I found it from my mom and dad, more so from my brothers. And that's nothing against Pastor. I had one brother 1 year ahead of me. We shared a room our whole lives. And let me tell you, Pastor showed me more mercy than that brother did. But I didn't receive a lot of mercy from my brothers. I received a lot more from my mom and dad. But you know what? I begin to think about, what about the things that we deserve in this life that we don't get? And I thought to myself, I'm thankful for the things that I deserve that God has shown me mercy in. Now, when we talk about mercy, we have our hymnal, we sing about mercy, we preach about mercy, we teach about mercy, and sometimes we're guilty about, and maybe you guys never do this, sometimes we're guilty about just running through the words. Thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your mercy. But when we really stop to think about what God's mercy is, it's completely separate from grace. Or I won't say it that way. It's not completely separate. It's completely different than grace. Mercy is us not getting what we deserve. Grace is us getting what we don't deserve. Did you follow that? When we deserve something, we should have to pay for it. We should have to earn it, or we should have to get it no matter what. Grace says, no, you're going to get something that you don't deserve. John 3:36 says this, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You see, what grace is this. Grace is God refraining from giving us what we truly deserve and extending to us what we could not earn in a million years. Mercy and grace go hand in hand, but they're completely separate. Mercy says, you don't have to pay for your sins. Mercy says, I'll take care of it. Mercy says, even though you deserve this, you don't have to go through this. Psalms 136, or the 136th Psalm, talks about mercy, or the mercy of God, over 26 times. And as I began to look at what mercy is, I find it easy to find that there's lots of pictures in the Bible that show us mercy. Lots of things that we can look at the Bible and see God's mercy shown to us, God's mercy shown to His chosen nation, God's mercy shown to His people. And I want to share some of those with you this morning. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. We're going to read a couple of parables. There's three parables in this chapter, but there's two of the parables I want to pick out. And I think we are all very familiar probably with these parables, but I want to look at them in a different way, if you would. But before we go any farther, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we're so thankful for allowing us to be here this morning. We're thankful for all that you've blessed us with. Lord, I'm thankful for allowing me to be here today. Lord, I pray you help us to take the next few moments, look at what you have for us in your word. And Lord, I just pray somehow you use me this morning to show your word to these people and that we may be willing and open to hear what you have to say. Show us anywhere in our life that you want us to change. And Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray that they may receive you today before it's too late. You know, I pray. Amen. Luke chapter 15, if you would. Luke 15. And that being said, these parables that we're going to read are all very, very, very familiar. The first one is the one of the lost sheep. Even if you don't go to church, you've probably heard of the lost sheep and heard the reference of, oh, there's a sheep that lost, there's lost, and the shepherd that goes after it. And the other one, probably even more well-known, is the one of the prodigal son. The son that leaves his father and comes back. But today I want us to do something different. Rather than just look at that, I want to draw your attention, I want to draw your focus to one specific detail in each one of these. As we look at the parable of the lost sheep, rather than concentrating upon the sheep so much, I want us to look at the shepherd. Okay? I want us to look at his actions. I want you to look at what he did with this sheep. Next, when we go to the parable of the prodigal son, I want you not to look at the son so much, but look at the father. Look what he does. Look how he reacts. Look what he says. Look what he does. And I think if we're going to do that today, we're going to be able to see a picture, a beautiful picture of the mercy that God shows us, both before we're saved and after we're saved, if we choose to follow him. So if you would, Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, we'll start with verse number 4. Luke 15, verse 4, it says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness to go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth his neighbors, his friends, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Parable of the lost sheep. Here we have a sheep that was lost. Not too hard to imagine. You know anything about sheep, which I don't know a lot, but if you know anything about sheep are not the brightest of creatures. They kind of go in herds, they go in packs, and they get skittish. They run off, they do things, they wander off if you're not watching them. So here we have a sheep being a sheep, doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing. Decides to wander off. Goes and gets himself, if you would, into trouble. Next, we have a shepherd. And this one, I want you to look at the shepherd. We have a shepherd that here has a pretty good percentage, if you would, of success rate. 99 of the sheep that he has are taken care of. 99 of the sheep out of 100, that's pretty good numbers, isn't it? Have come up where they need to be. One sheep that decided to go off on his own, wandered off on his own. I mean, if I had to work 99% of the time, or if my work had to be correct 99% of the time, I would say those are pretty good numbers. Here we have a shepherd that's done nothing wrong, but has one sheep that decided to wander off. So this shepherd is not going to accept that 99%. This shepherd wants the 100%. This shepherd is a perfect shepherd. Let me put that out there. Decides he's going to go after this one lost sheep. Decide he is going to leave the other 99 to search for that one. Now I want to point out something real quick. I think we kind of see a little bit of the mercy of Christ here. If you would, in verse 4, last part of verse 4, it says, "And what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness to go after that which is lost?" Now, read these last few words. How long does he search for? Until he find it. This shepherd was not going to give up. This shepherd was not going to stop looking until he found that one sheep that was lost. You ever lost something of value? You know, we can lose a lot of things. Our kids lose stuff every day, and we won't stop. You know, hey, we'll look for it a little bit. If we don't find it, no big deal. What about when you lose your car keys? Oh, man, you look. You should look again. You may just have an extra set, but you come back and you look for it right away. If anything of a value in our life is lost, we want to search for it. We want to find it. We want to make sure We know where it's at. This shepherd, let me put it this way, he didn't lose his car keys. This sheep wandered off, and he had a heart for it. He wanted to know where it was. He wanted to bring it back to where it would be safe. He was going to look until he found it. There was not going to be any stopping this shepherd. There was not going to be any end until he found what he was looking for. Now, here's where we begin to see some of the characteristics of the shepherd. This shepherd finds the sheep. Now, I didn't grow up on a farm, but I grew up with dogs. And sometimes we get a dog, and the garage door or the gate would be left open. And once again, I'm the youngest, so I would get the blame, right? I wouldn't get any mercy on that. I get the blame. Will left it open. He was the last one in the gate, so I was the one who left it open. That dog would get out, and we would look for that dog. We would look and look and look. And when we found that dog, do you think we went up to that dog? Oh, you're such a good dog. You made me look all over the neighborhood for you, dog. Oh, I'm so glad you're here. Oh, man, I felt sorry for that dog. We weren't happy to find that dog. We were relieved, but that dog wasn't happy to see us. Let me put it that way. What does this shepherd do when he finds this sheep? Now, who knows what this sheep has got himself into? This sheep has cost the shepherd time, sleep, energy. Who knows what kind of trouble this sheep is in? Maybe he's stuck in a pit. Maybe he's in a bush. Maybe he's something. Maybe he's just farther than you can realize where he's at. And what does this shepherd do? Does he go scold it? Does he go yell at it? Does he go beat down this sheep until it will learn, hey, you just better never come again? Guys, check this picture out. He takes that sheep, the Bible says, and he puts it on his shoulders. Now, as I begin to read this, I begin to think, study this a little bit. I want you to understand, adult sheep can weigh anywhere between 110 and 125 pounds. That's not a light sheep. That's not a small effort. This shepherd goes and takes the sheep, puts it on his shoulders, and begins to take it back. Begins to return it to the other ones. You want to talk about a picture? You want to talk about getting something that the sheep didn't deserve? He takes it back. He takes it back. He shows mercy to that sheep. Did that sheep get himself there? Yeah. Did he bring this upon himself? Yes. Did he deserve everything he was about to get, whether it be a predator or famine or whatever the case was? Yes. But that shepherd went out until he found it and took care of him. Brought him back. How do we apply this to us? It's not very hard, and I don't mean to insult anyone here, but I'll start with myself first. Guys, Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have what? Gone astray. We've gone everyone to our own way. Guys, we're not as human beings. I'll just put it out that way. I'm not going to pick on anyone this morning. As human beings, we're not very bright. And you know what we tend to do as mankind? We tend to get ourselves into trouble. We tend to look and find ways to get away. Perfect case. Think of Adam and Eve. God created the perfect environment. God created everything just right. No sin, everything they wanted. They needed nothing. And what happens? What happens? It didn't take them long before they were sinning, right? It didn't take them long before they fell into sin. All we like sheep have gone astray. You know what? If you're here this morning, we're all in the same boat. The Bible says by one man, sin entered in the world. We're all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 3. Romans chapter 3, real quick. You ever notice when the Word of God repeats itself? You kind of have to open your eyes. I think it's just that way. If you don't catch it the first time, you might catch it the second or the third or the fourth. Romans chapter 3, if you would. Romans 3:10, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God, they are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Guys, if we were left to our own, we wouldn't be seeking a Savior. We would be like those sheep just wandering away. We would never find our way back. We would say, you know what? I need someone to tell me that I'm a sinner. You know what we do? You know what this world teaches? You just do what's right. You just do what you want to do. And as long as you don't hurt anybody else, you're all right. Guys, that's where our mankind, that's where our human nature would take us. We wouldn't seek a Savior. We wouldn't seek a standard. We'd simply be trying to make sure we got along all right. We didn't step on anyone else's toes. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. Left to ourselves, we would be dead in the trespasses of our sins. You want to talk about what we deserve? Guys, sin deserves punishment. As you study the Bible, as you look through the Word of God, everywhere that you look at sin, it has to be dealt with something. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is what? Death. Genesis 2:17 says, but when this is in the Garden of Eden, he says, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof. For the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You see, you sin and death, you die. James 1:15 says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Everywhere in the Bible we see sin and we see death. They go hand in hand. Sin has to be punished. Sin has to be dealt with. Our wayward ways have to be dealt with. Guys, how did that shepherd deal with that sheep? Went to it, found it, put him on his shoulders, carried him back. Sinners, and I say that, sinner, how did God deal with our lost state? Did he say, hey guys, you got yourself there, figure a way out? Guys, I created the Garden of Eden. You messed up, you're on your own. No. He had mercy upon us. He had mercy on us. Did we deserve it? No. We deserved to be punished. But God had mercy upon us. What a beautiful picture. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Think back to the Garden of Eden. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned? Did they go out and say, okay, God, we know we sinned. We need to search you out and ask for your forgiveness? No, if I remember right, they tried to hide, didn't they? They tried to cover it up. When we sin, we try to reason with it. We try to cover it up. We try to explain it away. We don't try to seek out God. You want to talk about mercy? When God comes to us, he finds us in our lost state, finds us with all the mud and sin and nastiness and whatever else we've got ourselves into. Guess what? He puts us on his shoulders. John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. The second part of Isaiah 53:6 says this, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the best part is at the end. It says, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Guys, that shepherd not only comes for us, but he lays down his life for us. He pays a debt that we cannot pay. And he shows mercy for something that we deserve to get, but we don't have to. Psalms 103:10 says, he hath not dealt with us after our own sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Guys, you want to have a definition of mercy? It's right there. When we deserve to get something, and God takes our place, we don't have to deal with it. He lays it upon himself and takes our place. Mercy is free. Mercy is there for us. Mercy is there for you. But we have to be willing to accept it. Next parable, if you would, jump with me. Luke chapter 15. We see how God's mercy is shown to us as sinners. We see how God's mercy is shown to us how when we don't need it or when we don't want it. Let me put it that way. We need it, we don't want it. As lost sinners, God showed us, God paid the way for our sins. But I want to show someone else, I want to show you something else. What about those of you, and sometimes we catch more on this one, how about this? What about those of you who are saved today? You've called upon Jesus as your Savior. You know Jesus is your Savior. But you allow sin into your life. That's us every day, isn't it? If we're honest with ourselves. We allow sin into our life, whether it be something we allow or something we just give into. And before we know it, it's a part of our life. Before we know it, it's there. Parable number 2. Let me get back there. Luke chapter 15. We'll start with verse 11. Luke 15:11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that follows to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far land, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to him, and when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish in hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came unto his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him. And his son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." The father said unto the servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and put shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fattest calf. Kill it, let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. What about those of us who are saved, called upon Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we have sin in our life, or we allowed sin into our life? One thing important that I think we need to understand is the very beginning of this parable right here, we see two sons. And even though one son kind of went away in the beginning, he never stopped being a son. He was a son from the beginning, the middle, and the end. Guys, our salvation, when you receive Christ as your Savior, your salvation is never in jeopardy. The Bible says your salvation is sealed to the day of redemption. Your salvation is not in jeopardy. What is in jeopardy is the fellowship, the daily communion, that close relationship with our Lord and Savior. When we allow sin into our life as Christians, we allow it to become between us and God. Guys, no good relationship has anything in between it. When Christians allow that to happen, it's not a good thing. Let's look at this parable. We don't have to go too far into it. We see there's a rich man, or we see there's a certain man, he had two sons, and what happens? We all know the story. One son thinks, "Hey, I can do better, I want something else. Grass is greener on the other side, I'm tired of this." He tells his dad, "Let me have what I'm going to get, let me have it now." Now, I did find it interesting, in that time, basically by telling your dad, "Hey, I don't want to wait till you're dead," he's basically saying, "I wish you were dead. I want mine now, let me go have mine." Total disrespect, isn't it? I think as a father, what would I think? My son and my children said that to me. Total disrespect. We have a son that says that. He says, "Hey, give me what I have." Takes his living, goes off. Don't want to spend too much time. This goes off, blows it. And guess what? Sure enough, he finds himself feeding the pigs. That's kind of interesting. Think about this. He's explaining, Jesus is telling this parable, and he's telling it to some of the Pharisees at the time. The sinners, these people are Jewish leaders. To them, pigs are horrible, dirty, rotten animals. They're like the lowest of the low. And here we have a Jewish boy, maybe, not only, you know, help us feeding on a pig, but feeding the pigs and wanting to eat what the pigs are eating. So here we have a person that can get no lower in their eyes, and he's going to plead mercy. He's going to want to go back to his father. The Bible says in verse 17, when he comes to himself, he says, "Hey, look where I'm at. Look where I've got myself into. Look at what my choices have brought me into." And he says, "You know what? My dad has a servants that are got more than I have. I don't need to be a son anymore. I've already wasted my money and wasted my inheritance. Maybe I can just go back and be a servant. That's a better job than what he has now, right? That pays better than what he's doing now." Luke 15, verse 20 says, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell upon his neck." Guys, I want us to look and focus upon the father in this picture. We're going to see his mercy. We're going to see the mercy that he shows to his son that doesn't deserve it. The Bible says that he sees his son, what, a far way off. I don't think this is an accidental thing. I don't think the father is just out there working and, "Hey, did you notice that person?" No, the picture that it shows us here is that this father was waiting and watching for his son to come home. He was waiting and watching for the time that he knew that son that left, that son that didn't want him anymore, that son that didn't want anything to do with him anymore, was going to come back. What a picture we have. The Bible says, when he was a far way off, he recognized him. Our kids will, when people are coming over to our house, we have family coming over to our house, our kids will sit out and look in the window and wait, and they'll count every single car that goes by. "Oh, there's a red car, there's a black car, there's a green car." They just wait, and they can't wait. The Bible shows us this picture of this father that his heart has probably been broken. And he's just watching and waiting for the day that his son will come home. And when he sees his son afar off, no doubt covered with pig stuff, probably clothes are torn, probably smells like the pigs, probably looks worse than he ever has. When he sees him afar off, still knows it's his son. Doesn't wait for the son to come back. Guys, I'm going to say this one. As a dad, I know what my flesh would want to say if I was a dad. I know what my flesh would want to do. Oh, okay, now he's coming back. It's time for him to get it. Let me show him. You know what? I told you this was going to happen. I told you this is the way it's going to turn out. Now it's time to come back in my house, my rules. This is what's going to happen. You've tried it. No? That's not the picture we see here. The father does what? He runs to meet his son. And it wasn't to discipline him. He runs to see him. Now, it's interesting. Under the Mosaic law, guess what? A son that is disobedient like this, the father had every right to take him to the elders and have him stoned. So when this son's coming back, he has no idea what the father's going to do. That father has every right to be angry, every right to look for justice, every right to get justice. And yet he runs to his son and does the opposite. Does exactly the opposite. He runs upon him and grabs him and hugs him and kisses on him. He's so thankful that his son is back. He's so excited, so grateful to receive him back, to show him mercy. His son didn't deserve it, but he was giving it to him. Luke 15:22, but the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Brings him back. No, 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 you're not a servant. You're one of mine. You're my son. You're part of my family. Here's a ring. Here's shoes. Here's my best robe. It wasn't a, hey, let's just get you to where you can live here now. It was, you're back. You've always been a part of our family. You think anyone deserved mercy? No. You think that son was grateful that he didn't get what he deserved? I think he was. You think that son was grateful that his dad showed him mercy? Pretty sure it was. Now let me ask you guys this. As Christians, when we sin, how different are we? You know, when we choose to live in the world, when we choose to allow the world into our life, when we choose to sin or choose the things of this world over the things of God. And guys, I'm not trying to stand up here and pick on anybody. I'm preaching to myself, probably more so than I am anyone here. But when we choose to sin, what are we telling our Heavenly Father? I don't need you. I got this taken care of. I want all the blessings you're giving me, but I also want this world. I also want to do this. I also want to hold on to my worries myself. The Bible says in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. You can't love one and love the other. You're going to love one, you're going to hate the other. Guys, we're no different. When we fall into sin, when we allow sin into our life, we're the same exact way. And our sin, even as Christians, deserves to be punished. How long do we stay in our sin? Well, probably until we're like that lost or that prodigal son. Till our sin takes us to where we didn't want to go. Till it beats us down. Till it makes us a slave to itself. And then we realize, just like that boy did, you know what? My father didn't make me this way. My father has more riches than I ever had. My father didn't treat me this way. We come to our senses. We come to repentance. Romans 2:4 says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, and knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. When we repent of our sins, what's it say? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That's not just for when we first receive Christ as our Savior, but that's an everyday verse. When we sin, when we fall short, when we mess up, we give in to temptation, we claim that verse. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Guys, when we sin, We don't go back to God and say, God, I'm sorry, I've sinned, and expect to get beat down. We receive the same mercy that we received when we asked Him as our Lord and Savior. We don't deserve it, but we get it. We don't deserve it, but we get it. He welcomes us right back in the family. Turn with me to Psalms, if you would. Psalms 103. Psalms 103. Now go to verse number 10, if you would. He hath not dwelt, and this explains it perfectly, He hath not dwelt with us according or after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Loved ones, let me tell you something. God doesn't always give us what we deserve, and I'm thankful for that. We need to learn to receive, once we receive Christ, that His repentance, that our repentance, is just as important in our life every day from our sins. Just as important every day from our sins. You read the Bible, and you find where God has shown mercy to His people from the front to the back. You think about the children of Israel. What did they do? Well, they constantly fell short. They constantly sold God short. They constantly left promises out there that their faith would not claim. Turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 9 real quick. Nehemiah chapter 9. And we just went through this. We just did a study in the book of Nehemiah. But there's one verse I want you to... Let me get there myself. Nehemiah chapter 9. And I want you to look at something. Talking about all the times that they sold God short, all the times that they didn't claim the promises, all the times that they didn't walk when they should have walked or do what they should have done. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 31. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a what? Gracious and merciful God. Guys, how many times have we messed up? How many times have we sinned? And yet, God's mercy is always there. God's mercy is always there for us. God's mercy is new every day. Let me ask you this morning. Are you a lost sheep? Have you ever received Christ as your Savior? Have you ever truly come to that point in your life where you said, you know what? I've tried to do it on my own. I've tried to be good enough. I've tried to do the right things. But I've never received Jesus as my Savior. I've never called upon His name and given Him my life. Tell you what, this morning, if you've never done that, you're a lost sheep. The Bible says that we will one day stand before God. And as a lost sheep, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, guess what? You're going to have to answer for your sins. You're going to have to answer for the things that you've done. And you know what? As we talked earlier, the punishment that we will receive is death. An eternal death, and that'll be in hell. But it doesn't have to be that way. God says that He is taken our place. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21 says, For He hath made Himself to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Repentance. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, let Him show you mercy. Let Him take your place on that cross. What about for those of you this morning who may be struggling with sin, and that may probably throw us all in the same boat. Those of you who are saved, you know Christ is your Savior, but yeah, we struggle with sin. Yeah, we have sin in our life. Let me tell you the difference between a Christian that struggles with sin and leaves sin in their life and one who doesn't. It's the difference between this prodigal son before and after he came back. You see, before he left and chose to live in sin, what was his attitude? He said to his dad, give me, give me, give me. I want this. I want this. I want that. When he got all he wanted and realized it wasn't what he wanted, he no longer said, give me. He said, make me. Make me as one of your servants. Guys, repentance is the difference. Whatever we have, whatever we can do, even as Christians, is worthless to God. Let Him make you what He wants you to be. Let Him make you. And let me tell you what, when you do, you're welcomed right back into the family, full sonship. He'll cleanse you. He'll forgive you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. And you'll feel love like you've never felt love before. I'll close with this. I'm glad this one was in there. I was looking at home and I didn't know, but I was reading a story, and it's a hymn that we sing. And there's a story, and the author of the hymn, I'm going to turn to it as I'm going there, it's this hymn that I'm sure we've all sung before. It's I'm going to get the title right. Come Thou Fount is the name of the hymn. Maybe you've heard this one before. I was reading the story, and the man who wrote it was Robert Robinson. I'm sorry. You can check me on this. I even checked it to make sure the story was correct. The name was Robert Robinson, and he got saved under George Whitfield, one of his revival meetings, through his ministry in England. And he got saved at a young age. And at the age of 23, when he was saved, he wrote this hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. The first verse says, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy, never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. He was thankful for the mercy. He was wondering, he said, thankful for the mercy that God had shown him. Well, story goes that, sadly, he fell by the wayside. He stopped serving God, began to live a carnal life, and was living a carnal life for many, many, many years. As a Christian, that's a miserable place to be. One day it says he was riding a stagecoach with a lady. The lady didn't know who he was, but she was reading a book of songs. And she came across a song, and she began to read it, and she came by a verse or a one of the lines of a song, and she thought it was so neat, so touching, that she asked him, not knowing who he was, to read that part, and she shared it with him. The part she shared with him was the third verse. The third verse, the part where she was, is the third line. It says, Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart. And this is the part she shared with him. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. They said that he began to cry and cry because he realized the very words that he wrote about wondering as a Christian, about leaving his father, about leaving the God that he loved, the God that he gave his life to, about living a life that wasn't glorifying to him, just hit him right there. Said he began to cry and cry. Said the lady redirected him right back up to the first verse. It says, streams of mercy never ceasing. From what I understand, he rededicated his life to the Lord and began to live once again like he should have. I don't know this morning if you've ever received Christ as your Savior. I don't know if we're lost sheep. I once was lost. I don't know if we're simply a prodigal son, a person living with sin in our life. Only you know. Either way, let me plead, let me beg, let me ask you to consider the mercy of Christ. Guys, I'm thankful this morning that I don't get what I deserve. I'm thankful that I don't have to pay for my sins. I'm thankful that someone did it for me. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come before you thanking you for all your blessings. And Lord, I feel terribly inadequate to share anything that you have for us. Lord, I know there's nothing that I can say that can have any effect, but Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, just move in our hearts. Let us be willing to receive what you have, to be changed where you want us to be changed, to be strengthened where you want us to be strengthened.